Jesus wants to give you a gift. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and by this point in the week, if people are really starting to get on your nerves, if they're bugging you, if they're starting to drive you crazy, if you're ready to pull your hair out, stop. Come on, stop. What's it mean to be a Christian? We got to live our Christian vocation, just not in churches, but in homes and in roadways and supermarkets and in our jobs and in our schools. What do I say always on Thursday? You could probably say it with me right now, quoting the song from the musical Les Miserables, to love another person is to see the face of God. That's every person, not just the person you like, not just the person whom you have a special relationship, not just the person who has similar hygiene, similar interest, similar ways of speaking, enjoying sports, all God's people. That's how you become a real follower of Jesus Christ, a little Christ Christian, by being able to have that vision that Jesus had, that we're all God's children. We treat each other the way we would treat Jesus. That is so shocking when Jesus said, what you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. So if you have somebody right now in your life who just drives you crazy, who takes you for granted, who has an irritable habit, who just gets on your nerves, slow down. That's where your prayer has to help you. That's where your reflection on the gospel has to help you. If you do that, you'll have a peace, you'll have a patience, you'll have a forgiving heart, you'll have a tolerance, you'll have all the gifts promised by God. Because he wants to gift us. He knows how we are. Well, he knows our idiosyncrasy. He knows that some people are eccentric. He knows that some people are takers. He knows that some people are con artists. He knows that some people are lazy. But he wants us to love them, not to be used or abused by them. We do have to call them to justice, but we have to love them. You can only love people we don't particularly care for by recognizing the face of Jesus Christ in them. Today's scripture passage comes from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. End of the scripture passage. Now, if you ever watch TV evangelists or listen to a motivational speakers, you know that there's a kind of a common theme that runs through what their message is. You could call it abundant life. You could call it living up to your potential. You could call it, you know, living life to the fullest. I remember when I was growing up, Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, the name of his television show was Life is Worth Living. Okay? So the point is that we should not just walk through life with minimalism. We should not walk through life thinking that we have nothing to contribute. We should not walk through life depending on our own resources. No, we have to claim a power, that divine power that's in us. And when we do that, we can do great things. Obviously, in a religious context, we can do great things for God, right? With God on our side, we can do the impossible. And that's why I chose today's scripture passage. Okay? First of all, the one who cares for us is the good shepherd, not a hired hand. He's the shepherd who will lay down his life for us, as he did. Not a thief who only comes to kill and destroy. He's the one who's come to give us life, life to the fullest. And so, when I start the program today saying, Jesus wants to give you a gift, now we know what that gift is. It's a gift of life to the fullest. It's that divine spark that was planted in us at our baptism. It's the divine spark that is kindled into a raging fire by our prayer and our charity, our scripture reading, our quiet time with God. Too many Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, do not claim the power. They live lives that seem to be weak, full of fear, giving in to frustrations. That's not life to the fullest. That's not abundant life. Now, as again, often TV evangelists or motivational speakers, and I know I myself will use this phrase every once in a while, attitude is everything. Of course, I do that in the context of not just secular understanding of attitude, but scriptural understanding of attitude. Beatitude, be an attitude. Paul says in second chapter of his letter to the Philippians, have that attitude in you that was in Christ Jesus. So there's tremendous resources available for us. You know, but you can't sit back passively and think, well, if God wants to do something in and through me, he will. And that's a heresy. That's called quietism. That means I just sit still and whatever God wants to do, he can do. No, Jesus never taught that. Jesus taught us that we have to build the kingdom, not let the kingdom come to us. Jesus told his disciples, go preach the good news. Takes effort on our part. Will we have defeats? Yeah, we will. Will people oppose us? Yeah, they will, especially when we call them to justice. Will people misunderstand us? His disciples misunderstood Jesus most of the time. Will we see great worldly success? No, not necessarily. But we will please God. And once we understand that our purpose in life is to please God. Once we have the attitude of pleasing God, then success or no success, we will find God's favor. We will experience the pleasure of God. We will know that God takes great delight in us. You know, this is such an important point because we live in such a success-oriented society. You know, success in the eyes of the world is not success in the eyes of God. God's ways are not the world's ways. God's plans are not the world's plans. So we have to take comfort in the fact that when we say to God, here I am, Lord, work your will in me. Well, the first thing that God will do in and through us when we place ourselves at God's disposal is give us life to the fullest. It'll show forth in the way we smile, the way we talk, the way we sing, the way we hum, that little glint in our eyes, the way we shake hands, the way we hug, the way we laugh, the way we sacrifice. You have to claim the power. Jesus did not come to make us weak. Jesus did not come to make us doormats. Jesus did not come to make us failures. Maybe in the eyes of the world we will seem all three. But remember, Jesus teaches an upside-down theology. What the world says is success, Jesus would not consider success. And what Jesus considers success, the world just laughs and ridicules at. But what does the world need right now? a world filled with fear and addictions and violence. It needs people who claim the gift that Jesus wants to give them. They live life to the fullest. They see this world as not their home. They're just passing through. Their home is heaven. They have that distant look in their eye that gives them a sense. And when people ask why that look, they say, because you know, I have a father who loves me. A brother died and rose from the dead to save me from my sins. And I have the Spirit of God that dwells in me and reminds me constantly that I am loved. You know, that's the gift. That's the gift. If we can articulate that, more and more people are going to sit up and listen. You know who our prayer partner is today? It's gynecologists. These are the people who serve and help and heal and comfort women. Unique problems that women have. It's very, very important in the days in which we live when there's so much infertility. Where women who are very, very sexually active before they got married are having problems. Or other types of diseases. A woman's body, the hormone makeup of a woman's body is quite different than that of a man. God bless gynecologists. Help them realize that they're dealing with the sacred. Let them have a deep respect for women. Let them serve women. Never let them harm women. Never let them give women bad advice. Jesus bless gynecologists. Amen. Today's food for thought comes from the ancient philosopher Confucius. Confucius wrote, "Our greatest glory is not in never failing, but in rising every time we fall." Amen to that, right? It's not the loser who falls. It's the loser who refuses to get up. Today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. One day a policeman stopped a motorist who had just gone through a four-way stop sign and was about to give him a ticket when the motorist said, "Officer, you can't give me a ticket for that." "Why not?" said the officer. "Because although I did not stop, I slowed right down, and it's almost the same." "But you did not stop," replied the officer. "And the sign says stop." "But the way was clear and it was safe," replied the motorist. The officer then pulled out his baton and started hitting the motorist. "What are you doing?" yells the motorist in surprise. "Do you want me to slow down or stop?" says the officer. Clever, right? Folks, contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know you listened to the program. Send me some help from my hospital in Mexico. Make the check out to Tash, Inc. Send me your prayer intentions, I'll storm heaven. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.